Sure hope that song's true.
Yeah.
Amen.
Yes.
Oh, man. I think that's wrote in 1967 or somewhere along in there when that was wrote, so it's been a while. But I'm glad the Lord's coming.
Yes.
Amen, brother.
All right. If you have your Bibles today, let's open them up and we'll read and we'll let you be seated. If you open your Bibles today to Titus chapter number 2.
Amen.
This morning, Titus chapter number 2. This morning, we'll begin reading in verse 11 today, and we'll read verse 13 together. For the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men.
Amen.
Teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world. Verse 13, we'll read together. Looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us that he might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto himself a peculiar people, zealous of good works. These things speak and exhort and rebuke with all authority. And let no man despise thee. You can be seated. Father, we come this morning. We thank you for another gathering together unto you, Lord. And we pray, as one of the Bible writers wrote, that it might be for the better, not for the worse. And Lord, I confess, Lord, my need of you, my inability, Lord, to be able to preach of any effect without the touch of God. And the Master's strong hand, Lord, I pray, Lord, today that you bless these verses that we've read right out of the Word of God. And Lord, you'd open our hearts to receive them. And open, Lord, I pray my heart that I might be able to be touched by the truths found in this chapter, Lord, today. We pray for lost people, Lord, to be saved, to realize the urgency of the matter. And Father, we pray for those that are saved, that the Lord might challenge and stir and speak to their hearts today.
Yes, Lord.
Thank you for all those able to be present today.
Yes.
And we pray that the Lord would move in such a way that everybody might receive something today from the Lord Jesus Christ.
Yes,
and we thank you, Lord, for all these favors that we ask in Jesus' name.
Yes, Lord.
Amen and amen.
Amen.
All right. Titus is a small book. It's written by Paul, of course, to Titus, who is the first bishop or the pastor of the church at Cretans. Now, this little book is packed with instruction on how to be a good preacher. Every preacher ought to read 1 and 2 Timothy and ought to read Titus because they are packed with truths about how to be a good preacher. Also, Titus has a lot in there about how to be a good parent. We read where he talks about how that the aged women, what they're supposed to do, how they're supposed to teach the younger women, the aged men, how they're supposed to guide and direct the young men.
Amen.
And then we see here a pattern, which we've read here today. We see a pattern for how we are to live as Christians.
Amen.
How we are to behave as children of God.
Amen.
Now, we're living in a time when nobody wants to be told what to do.
You're right.
Nobody wants anybody to tell them what
Amen.
To do.
Right.
We're living in a time where the Bible tells us it would come that people would despise authority.
That's right.
They would not want anybody to tell them what to do, and especially the preacher.
Amen.
But we're glad this morning that in the Word of God, that God has given us a book, and he's put in that book about how that we ought to behave as children of God.
Right.
I'm afraid that many people today in the Christian realm, I'm afraid many of them are like the little boys that went to church without their mother. Their mother sent them off to church, and they've gone, and when they come back, the mother had urged them and told them, be good now, you behave yourself and be really good. And so when they come back about an hour later, and the mother asked them, said, well, said, was y'all good? And one of the little boys said, we must have been, because the lady in front of us said she'd never seen anybody behave like us. I believe that that's the way today with a lot of Christians.
Yes,
amen.
Right.
That a lot of times we don't behave like we ought to as children of God. The Bible said that we are to let our light shine before others that they might see our good works and glorify our Father which is in heaven. And quite honestly today, it seems like that the world has become a little churchy, and the church has become a whole lot worldly. That's kind of the way it seems to be going. It's hard to tell the difference. Now, used to, you know, you could just about spot a Christian anywhere. You could look at them and you could tell by looking. You could tell by listening to their talk for a little while. I remember years ago, there on the job where I worked, I remember a fellow coming up to me one day and he said, "You must be a Christian." And I said, "Why would you say that?" And he began to say why that he said that, because of some of the things that maybe I wasn't doing that other people were doing. Well, we know we're not saved by our works, but we do know that the Bible says that we need to maintain those works. It even says that in this book here, that we are to maintain our works because they're profitable unto men. They're profitable to others that look and watch our lives. I want to preach this morning just what God has given me for today, this morning, and I want to preach on how the Bible says that we should live. How the Bible says that we should live. I'm speaking as Christians. Of us that name the name of Christ and are saved today, the Bible does tell us, like it does all things, the Bible tells us what we need to do. The Bible tells us how we need to pray. The Bible tells us how we need to give. The Bible tells us how we need to witness. I mean, you name it, and the Bible tells us what we are supposed to do as a child of God. And so the Lord did not leave us without a pattern to know how that we should live today as Christians. You say, "Well, things have changed. It's different. We're in the last days." Well, I wouldn't argue with you that we're not in the last days, but God's Word has not changed. And I would not argue with you that times have changed, because they most certainly have. But Paul, in addressing this matter over in 1 Timothy 3, or 2 Timothy 3, Paul addressing this matter of the last days and the way people would act and what would go on, he finishes that chapter up by saying, "But continue you in the things which you've learned." In other words, though the world changes, we're not supposed to. And so there is a way that would, back in 1920, there was a way that Christians ought to live. Can I tell you, in 1950, there was a way that Christians ought to live. Can I tell you that right now, in 2015, there is a way that Christians ought to live, and it has not changed one iota. You say, "Well, how are we supposed to live, Brother Rick?" Well, the Bible said there in verse 12 that we read, the Bible said, "Teaching us the denying ungodliness and worldly lust." And so we see here that the Bible, by the way, isn't the word used today for people who are saved and strive to live right. You see, the Bible says that we're to live righteously. The Bible says that we are to deny ungodliness, the Bible says. And so I'm going to use a word that we use today. The Bible says we are to live straight lives. Straight lines. You know, that's what they call people that are Christians. I mean, if you're really a sold out Christian and you're not in with the world, they call you straight. Amen. That's what they call you. They call you straight. Now, if you're straight, then that means, if you're not straight, then that must mean you're crooked. Amen. I mean, let's just think about it. If you're not straight, you must be crooked. I was down with Michelle this week when she had a knee surgery, and then went back the following day or the day after that to see how she's doing. And while I was in there, the physical therapist come in, and she was going to hook that thing up that moves your leg whether you want to or not. And so she was hooking that up, and Michelle made the comment, and she said, "This feels a lot better today." And she said, "That other guy said he'd make me lay crooked like, and it didn't feel good, but said, you've got it straight there, and it's not hurting today." And she said, "That's the way the Lord made us," or she said, "That's the way God made us. He made us," she said, "God made us crooked." Said, "That's how He made us." Said, "He made us crooked." And I said, ma'am, I said, really, God made us straight.
That's right.
Yeah. I said, God made us straight, but I said, then we became crooked. Amen.
Right.
And so it is, my friend, that it is true that God made us straight, but because of Adam, we become crooked.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, today, today, and I hope you're not, but today, if you're not gay, then you're
straight.
Yeah. That's what the world says. Amen.
Yeah.
The Bible says, enter in at the
straight gate.
Yep. The straight is a gate. That is the way that leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it. Amen.
Yeah. Yeah.
So if you're not left, you're
right.
And right is
wrong.
No, right's not wrong. Right's right.
Yeah.
One person's going to learn something today.
Yeah.
Left is, for the most part, usually wrong.
Yes.
Right. For the most part, is usually always right. My dear friend, it's been gone for a long time. Brother Carl Nelson, great evangelist, preached all over the country. Wonderful man of God.
Yeah.
And Brother Carl said he was such a right winger. He wouldn't even meet the left wing of a chicken.
That's right. That's right.
Amen.
Amen.
Well, I'm not left. I don't care to tell you, I'm not left. Now, I'm not even in the middle. I'm right.
Yeah.
Amen.
Amen.
You say, you're right? Yes, I'm right.
Yeah.
And I'm like the man that married the woman, and he comes, this fella asked him, he said, how long y'all been married? He said, 30 years. 30 years. He said, well, he said, that's wonderful. He said, what's her name? He said, her name is Miss Wright. But I didn't realize when I married her that she's going to always be Miss Wright. Amen.
Yeah.
She's always right.
Yeah.
Well, I ain't always right. Sometimes I'm wrong about some things, but I'm right about this.
Amen.
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 Yeah.
We should live straight lives. The Bible teaches us to live straight lives.
Yes.
Amen.
Amen. Right.
Not crooked lives.
Right.
We expect the world to be crooked and are sometimes in their dealing, and many times people that are not saved are more honest and upright sometimes than people that are saved.
Yeah.
But for the most part, people that we don't expect people that are not saved to live like I'm going to talk about this morning, although it's wonderful when they try.
Yeah.
But I'm talking about this morning about we should live straight lives. Now, who says we're to live straight lives? The Bible does.
Right. Yeah.
The Bible says in verse 11, for the grace of God, for the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men, teaching us
yeah.
What? Teaching us that denying and ungodliness and worldly lust. The Bible says that we are to live right. It teaches us that.
Right.
I think we know that.
Yes.
Amen.
Right. Amen.
We may not live right, but I think we know that we ought to live right.
Yes.
Amen. Amen. I think that we may not always do right, but I think we know it's right when we do. It's right to do. It's right when we mess up and we don't do right and we do wrong. I think we realize that's the wrong thing to do.
Yes.
Amen.
Amen.
You see, how do we know that? The Bible says grace teaches us that.
Yes.
Yeah.
Right.
Now it said teaches all men.
Yeah. Right. Yep.
All men. Yep.
Right.
You know, people know that even if they ain't saved, they know it.
Yes. Yes. Right.
They know it's wrong to do these things. Amen.
Amen.
They know it's wrong to act certain ways, say certain things, do certain things. Why? Because God puts that in them.
Right.
Yeah. So we, and thus are saved, the grace of God teaches us that we ought to do right.
Yeah.
Amen.
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 Alright. What else is saved? Well, it says that we'll live straight lives because the Bible teaches us to do that. Well, what are we to do? Well, we're to deny ungodliness and worldly lust.
Yeah.
We're to deny that.
Yeah.
You know, the Bible says about a Christian that wants to be a disciple of the Lord, said you must deny yourself and take up the cross.
Yeah. Right? Amen.
What does it mean to deny something? It means that I refuse it. I refuse it to myself.
Yes. Right.
I don't allow myself to do it, even though it's out there and it's offered to me. May be tempting to me. I have to deny myself. Boy, there's a lot of ungodliness in the world.
Yeah.
Yeah. Amen. There's a lot of ungodliness in the world.
Yeah.
And there's a lot in the world that to make a man lust after.
Yes.
Amen.
Amen.
A lot in the world to make men and women and boys and girls to lust after the things of this world.
Yes.
And I tell you, the world, they're pretty good at some things, and they're pretty good at advertising.
Right?
Yeah.
They're pretty good at making things attractive.
Yes.
They're pretty good at stirring the desire within us to want something that we should not have. Amen.
Right.
But the Bible says that when we live straight lives, that we do what's right, and we deny ourselves. Brother Eddie, there's certain things that we shouldn't do as a child of God. We just shouldn't do it. You say, why? Because it is ungodly. That means it's not God-like.
Right.
It's not God-like.
Yes.
And I'll tell you, there's a lot of ungodliness in the world.
Amen.
A lot of ungodliness on the television. A lot of ungodliness on the internet.
Yeah.
Oh my goodness, there's more ungodliness on the internet, I guess, than ever. I think that pornography is at an all-time high. I think child molestation and all those awful dark sins are at an all-time high. And I believe the reason they are is because there's so much of it on the internet. Amen?
Yeah.
And the Lord only knows how many people sit in a church service like this on Sunday morning that are saved people, but they are involved in ungodliness. In the private confines of their home, they watch pornography and things of ungodliness. And the Bible says you shouldn't live that way.
Amen.
You say, well, I can't keep from it. Well, if you can't keep from it, I'd take that computer out in the yard. I'd take an axe and bust it up or take a shotgun and blow it away. I'd deny myself. Amen. That. Amen. I know some folks are more bothered with things than other folks are. But I want to tell you something. I really don't understand how that a man, I don't understand how that a man can get anything out of a picture. I really don't. I have never been a problem of mine in that way. But I realize some men have problems with it. You say, why are you preaching this? Because God's putting it on my heart. And because more than likely there's somebody sitting in this room and has a problem with that.
Amen.
You have a problem with that. I tell you, you need to come to the Lord. Even as a Christian, Christians can fall into these traps. They can fall into these things. And they need to be delivered by the hand of God.
Amen.
But I'm telling you, I'm talking about ungodliness. Oh my, the television screens they spew forth ungodliness, and they do it to try to make you and I accept it.
You're right.
I don't accept it.
Yes.
Same here, brother.
And I haven't said much about it, you know, in a while, because I don't want to just worry you to death with it all the time. But I'll tell you, same-sex marriage is wrong.
Yep.
Right.
I'll tell you, it's wrong in any aspect. It's ungodliness according to the Bible. It's a wrong thing, Brother Eddie.
Yeah.
And I'm more nervous about it right now than I ever have been. You say, why? Because they're not saying anything about it.
Yes.
There for a while, that was all you heard. Every time you turned on the radio, it was all you heard. Every time you turned on the television, it was all you heard. But you're not hearing anything about it now. I'll tell you, when a lion's out there roaring, I'm nervous, but I can dictate where he's at and what he's doing. But when it gets silent, I don't know what he's up to. I don't know what he's doing. I realize part of it probably has to do with the upcoming election. And they're waiting to get somebody in, and then they'll push it even greater. I'm just here to say one more time, as a preacher of the gospel, it is wrong. It is ungodly. You young people, don't let them push it over on you to think it's right. That we've now arrived. We're in the 21st century. I'll tell you, if God tells us coming to the 31st century, it'll still be wrong. And it's wrong in the sight of God.
Amen.
Destroying our country.
That's right.
Well, we're to live, we're to deny ourselves, live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world.
Right.
When are we to do that? You know, a lot of people think one day I'm going to get to heaven, I'm going to live right. I'm going to do right. I'm going to get rid of this old damned nature. I'm not going to have sin reigning in my body anymore. And I'm going to live right. I'm going to do right. That ain't what the verse said.
Yes, right.
The verse said we're to do what I'm preaching about now. The verse says we're to do it in this present world.
Amen.
We're to live right now.
Right.
Now, we can't live as right as we want to. But I'll tell you, we can live righter than what we're doing. Amen?
Amen.
Yes, sir. Someone said Christians are not sinless, but they should be sinning less the more they learn about the Word of God.
Amen? Amen.
And so we're to try to live right in this present world. Do our best to live for God right now.
You're right.
Somebody said, preacher, we're not perfect. I know we ain't, but we ought to be striving to live the best life that we possibly can for the glory of God.
Amen.
That's right.
Amen. The Bible says that we should live right. I didn't say that. The Bible said we should live straight lives. I'm just saying what the Bible says. I agree with the Bible. Yeah.
Amen.
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 That's right.
Whatever the subject is, I agree with the Bible.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.
You say why? Because the Bible is the final authority for all rule and practice.
Yeah.
If the Bible says it's right, no matter what the world says.
Amen, brother.
That's right.
I'm like old buddy George Sears was preaching on the radio the other day. He was preaching along these lines. He was really preaching hard. He's only got a 15-minute program, and it was easy to see Brother Eddie is going to run out of time. East country's cornbread. And old George said, well, folks, we've run out of time, but we'll finish her up next week if it high lips and pole.
Amen.
Yeah.
You say, what are you saying? I'm saying you ought to live right. You ought to preach it right. I can't help it if it offends. I can't help it if it rubs you fur the wrong way. Turn the cat around. That's what the preacher said here the other day, wasn't it? I just turn the cat around. It'll be all right.
Yeah.
Amen.
Amen.
Praise God. All right.
Yeah.
I was like a friend of mine. He's way up years now, and he said he's listening to himself. Somebody give him some old, real things of his. And when he started out preaching, Eddie, and he said, I was listening to them things, and said I had to go find something to even play them on. Took a while, but I finally found something to play them on. And he said, I put them on, and I sat down. He'd been preaching probably 60 years now. And he said, I put them on, and I sat down. He said, after about 20 minutes, he said, there's something dawned on me. He said, I used to be a pretty good preacher. He said, my wife walked in the room, and she said, Liz stood there a minute listening, and she said, who is that? And he said, honey, that's me when I first started out. She said, I'll tell you one thing, you used to be a pretty good preacher.
Formed to this world.
You know, after you preach a while, you see the hurt of people, the pain of people, the problems people go through, the family struggles, the financial struggles, the physical problems. And as a pastor, if you've got any heart at all, you don't want to hurt people. You don't want to put more on them than what they already got. But at the same time, you have to preach the Bible. You have to preach the truth. And sometimes it hurts. Sometimes when we hurt, it helps.
Yes.
Amen.
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 Yeah. You know, when you was a kid at home, back when I was a kid, you'd cut yourself or something, you'd go in and your mother would get that old bottle of red Mercurochrome. She'd pour that on there. If you was in the sixth grade, you'd have that stain till you graduated. It'd burn like fire. Amen, it'd burn like fire. And she'd say, if it's burning, that means it's killing them germs. Amen, I mean it burned, didn't it? But it was doing some good. Sometimes when it hurts us a little bit, it's doing us some good.
You're right.
Amen.
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 Yep.
God loves us enough to tell us the truth.
Yes.
Yes.
God loves us enough to be willing to tell us the truth at the expense of making us mad.
That's right.
Amen. Because we need it. We'll to live straight lives.
Amen.
Look at verse 12 again. And he said, teaching us of denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly.
That's right.
Yes.
Soberly. Now, when we think of that word, sober, in our society, we connect that with drinking and alcohol. And we think about a sobriety test. If someone were to get pulled over, they might give them a sobriety test. Has anybody ever had one of them? Don't raise your hand. But they might give you a sobriety test to say how much that you had been drinking. Well, you know, I think after the first year, I feel God is leading me after the first of the year to preach several sermons on the sins of our day.
Amen.
Everybody's really excited about that.
Amen.
Amen. The sins of our day. That is one of the sins of our day.
Amen.
It's amazing how that things that used to be great sins are now acceptable in society because we've had greater sins to come on.
Yeah. Right.
But greater sins that have come on the scene does not mean that those things that used to be sin are no longer sin. By the way, did you know I've been looking at some stuff in preparation for that next year, and they say the average young person starts drinking, maybe not every day, maybe not every week, but the average person starts drinking somewhere around 12 and 13 years old.
That's right.
And that's an old study.
Yeah.
Amen. Well, I just want to say today, for the young, the old, the middle-aged, wherever you fit in there, still wrong. Mm-hmm.
That's right.
Amen.
I want you to understand that the Bible says that it's deceiving. Proverbs 21 right. says, wine is a mocker, and strong drink is deceiving.
Yeah.
And whosoever is deceived thereby is not wise. So the Bible says it's a deceiving thing.
Right.
And then when we go all the way back to the beginning of that, we realize it's demoralizing.
Amen.
When we go back to Genesis 9,
yeah.
we read about the great man Noah, and he was a great man.
Yeah.
Noah was a great man, and he landed that ark. God landed that ark, and Noah got off, and Noah planted a vineyard. Remember how long it took for a vine to grow and grapes to grow on it?
Yeah.
That's about how long it took him, and Noah got off. And Noah was a righteous man, a preacher of righteousness. But we read these sad words. It says that Noah began a husbanding, verse 20 of chapter 9.
Yeah.
He planted a vineyard. He drank of the wine and was drunken. And he was uncovered within his tent.
Yeah.
And Ham, the father of Canaan, saw the nakedness of his father and told his two brethren without. And Shem and Jacob took a garment, laid it both on their shoulders, went backward, covered the nakedness of their father, and their fathers were backward, and they saw not their father's nakedness. The Bible has a lot to say about nakedness, even if it's your father.
Yes. Amen. Amen.
Even if it's your mother.
Amen.
The Bible has a lot to say about it.
Right.
And what the Bible calls nakedness is what some people wear today.
Yes. Amen.
I don't have time to get into that. I'll get into it another day. But the Bible said Noah woke from his wine, and he knew what his younger son had done unto him.
Yeah.
And he said, cursed be Canaan, a servant of servants shall he be unto his brother. And he said, blessed be the Lord God of Shem, and Canaan shall be his servant, and so forth and so on. But he said all of this started because Noah got drunk.
Right.
Yes.
Amen.
And when Noah got drunk, he was uncovered.
Right.
Can I tell you that drinking's demoralizing?
That's right.
Yeah.
When people start drinking, they start talking wrong.
Amen.
They start acting wrong.
Amen.
Amen.
Many, a young man or young woman, many of them have lost their virginity over four or five bottles of beer or alcohol or something like that. We're preaching now, ain't we?
Yeah.
Amen.
Amen.
Some of you don't like that. It don't bother you when television talks about it.
Yeah.
Amen, brother. Yeah,
come on.
Right.
It don't bother when you go down there to cinema and they do a lot more than that.
Amen.
Yeah.
Amen. I'm telling you, it's demoralizing.
Right.
It makes you do wrong. It makes you act wrong.
Yeah.
They don't want you to know it's deadly.
Amen.
Boy,
it's
deadly.
Yes. Amen.
Yeah.
So where's that at? Proverbs 23. The wise man said, who hath woe? Who hath sorrow? Who hath contentions? Who hath babbling? Who hath wounds without cause? Who hath redness of eyes? They that tarry long at the wine. They that go to seek mixed wine. Look not thou upon the wine when it's red, when it giveth its color to the cup, when it moveth itself aright.
Yeah.
At the last it biteth like a serpent.
Yeah.
It stingeth like an adder.
Right.
The last of it will get you.
Yep.
That's right, brother.
Amen. If you don't get it before it gets you, it will get you. Amen.
Amen.
So I'm saying that word sober, Eddie, that word sober means to be serious.
Amen. That's right.
How should we live? We should live straight lives. We should live sober lives or serious lives.
Amen.
Now, that don't mean you got to go around with a frown the whole time. You can't never smile. You can't never laugh. That's not what the Bible's saying
right.
here first.
Yep.
Thank you.
It's not what it's saying, but the Bible's saying there's certain things we ought to be serious about. Amen.
Amen.
We're not serious hearted about anything in our generation.
That's right, Brother Rick. Disconnected.
Do you know we've even took the word serious? We've made it a byword. When you tell somebody something, they'll say, serious?
Yes,
yeah,
man. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, man.
Are you serious?
Right.
The reason I say that is because I can't believe in our generation anybody be serious about anything.
Yes, that's true.
Amen.
Amen.
But there are some things we ought to be serious about. We ought to be serious about the devil. That same word used over in 1 Peter 5 and 8. The Bible says be sober. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, stalks around like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour.
Amen.
He says it's serious. Be vigilant. Watch out. The devil will get you.
Yes. Amen.
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 Yeah.
Amen. We don't realize how serious it is.
Yes.
That's right, Brother Rick.
I heard about a serpent-like deal that come into town. When they come into town, of course, they had several acts to draw people. But one of the things they had to draw individuals to that little carnival, that little circus passing through town, was they had a cage that had a lion in it, real lion. And somewhere during the course of that show, they had pulled that lion into the center of the circus ring there, and they'd pull him in there, and they'd call for a lady, and she'd stand up, and this beautiful blonde-haired lady, gorgeous lady, would stand up, and she would walk up there with a chair. She'd walk up there, and they'd open the cage door, and she'd get in there, and she'd set that chair down right in front of the lion. And when she set that chair right in front of the lion, she would sit down in that chair, and she would lay her head back. Her long, flowing, beautiful blonde hair would hang nearly to the floor when she'd lay her head back, and she was a beautiful woman. And she had the red, luscious lipstick on her lips, and she would lay back there. And when she'd get laid back just at a certain point, that old lion would reach over, and he would kiss her. One day in such a show, they brought her out, and the man stood up, and he said, "I'll give $100 for anybody that thinks they can do this." And one teenage young boy stood up. He said, "Son, you think you can do this?" He said, "I know I can do it. I know I can do it." He said, "Son, are you sure?" He said, "Yeah, but first thing you got to do is get the lion out of there."
Amen.
You know, that's the way with a lot of Christian people. Yeah. You see, I can live the Christian life, but you got to get the lion out there.
Yeah,
you got to get rid of the lion. I don't want to be a Christian unless the lion's around. I want you to understand, dear friend of mine, the lion ain't going nowhere until the King of Lions comes back. He's going to be there. He's our adversary. He stalks around like the roaring lion, seeking him. He might devour, and he'll get us if we're not serious about it.
Amen.
That's good preaching, Brother Rick.
Serious about the devil.
Yeah.
I tell you something, folks are not really that serious about, but it's in our text here. Verse 11 talks about salvation.
Amen.
Right. You know, I talk to a lot of folks, because I go out, knock on doors, and do things like that, and you'll ask folks if they're saved, and nonchalantly they'll just pass that off like you asked them if they got any milk for you.
Right.
They're not serious about it.
That's right.
And I tell you, if you're not serious about it, you probably aren't.
You're right.
Amen.
That's a pretty strong statement, but I'll stand by it.
Amen.
If you're not serious about salvation, you're probably not saved.
Amen.
You see, the Bible tells us that we need to be serious about our salvation. It is the most serious thing.
Amen.
The most serious thing in my life and in your life today, and believe me, there's a lot of serious things. But the most serious thing, Brother Eddie, of all, is am I ready to leave this world?
Amen.
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 That's it.
Have I been saved? Do I know that I've been saved?
Amen.
It's a serious thing. Amen.
Amen.
You say, why is it so serious? Because some things I do affect tomorrow, next week, maybe next year, maybe the next 10 years. I mean, you go out and buy a new vehicle. For most people, that's going to be affect about the next 6 or 7 years. That's pretty serious. You go out and buy a new house, and for most people, that's going to affect the next 30 or 40 years. That's pretty serious. But salvation's more serious than your car or your house, because it's going to cost you eternity. It's going to affect eternity. Where are you going to be when your life ends, when it's over? Where will you spend eternity?
Amen.
There's only two places to go.
Yes.
Amen.
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 Yep.
Amen. Yep. Amen, Brother Rick.
Somebody said heaven or hell.
Yeah.
I heard one guy say smoking or non-smoking.
Amen.
Yeah.
That's pretty true.
Right.
But folks are not serious about it. There's folks here every Sunday morning that are not saved.
Yes, right.
You're right.
Amen. They're not serious about it.
Amen.
They don't realize they could lose their own soul. And the Bible said their soul is worth more than all this world. Yes.
Amen.
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 Pretty serious.
Yeah. Amen, Brother Rick.
How serious is it? Look at the cross.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Right.
Look at what God did.
Amen.
Look at what Christ suffered, what Christ went through. Why did He do that? So that you and I might be saved, among some other things, but He wanted us to be saved. It's serious.
Amen.
It's so serious that heaven heard the call, sent His Son all the way down here to die on an old rugged cross. It's serious, folks.
Amen.
The folks are not serious about it.
Right.
Well, that's service. Say, so what's that mean? You know, church going.
Right.
Serving God. Are you serious about that?
Right.
Some folks that used to be serious aren't serious anymore.
That's right.
Right.
That's right.
You say, what do you mean? Well, you used to be serious enough for you to come Sunday night, Wednesday night. But now it's not that serious now.
Right.
You only come Sunday morning.
Yeah.
And I want to say, if the Lord does tarry His coming, I pray He don't. But if the Lord tarries His coming 5 more years, some of you will be out altogether.
Yes. Right.
Amen.
Yes. Right.
Amen.
Why? Because you're going in the wrong direction. It's not serious up to you. It's not serious to your home.
Amen.
It's not serious to your children. It's not serious.
Right. Bless you, Brother Rick.
Amen.
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 I always say this, being a pastor, that I understand that as we get older, our health fails. Some folks that used to come all the time can't come all the time anymore.
Right. Amen.
But I do want to say this. Please do not ever let the devil make you think because you can't come all the time, you can't come any time.
Yes.
Bless Him, Lord. Right. Bless Him.
Right.
As long as you can come some, you need to come some.
Amen.
But if you are able to come all the time, you should come all the time.
Right.
Amen. As much as you can. Yeah. Be in the house of God. Have your children in the house of God.
Yes.
Have your children under the teaching of the Word of God.
Amen.
Need to be serious.
Amen.
Said that, brother.
Somebody said, Brother Rick never says anything to me about missing church, so he must not care. Oh, I care.
Right.
I care. I tell you, there's somebody else more important than me.
Amen.
That's you and the Lord.
Yeah.
That's right.
Amen. Amen. I mean, it matters what Brother Rick thinks. I'm not going to say it don't. It matters what Brother Rick thinks about some things, but what really matters is what does God think about it? What does God think about it? What does the world think about it?
Right. Yeah.
I read the other day, fellas, neighbor called. They were sick. His neighbor called and said, are y'all all right? I said, yeah, we're okay. Why? He said, I know you always left your pen to go to church.
Yeah.
Notice your car was still there.
Right. Think about that.
That's a good testimony.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Amen.
That's a good witness right there. Amen.
Right. Amen.
Woo. Amen. I mean, if somebody came to your house this afternoon and you wasn't home, could the neighbor come over and say, I tell you where they're at?
Right.
They're down there at that Black Friday. Why can't they call it White Friday? I'll be racist. Somebody else is.
Amen.
I don't care if they call it black, blue, red, or yellow. I ain't going.
Amen.
Amen.
So my wife the other day, she just wants me to go with them. She never gives up. She's very persistent.
Listen, Lord. Be steadfast, Lord.
I said, tell you what I'll do. My wife cleans this church. I said, tell you what I'll do. I said, you go shopping, I'll clean the church.
Amen.
Hallelujah. I come out on top, praise God. But what I'm saying is we need to be serious about these things. We need to be serious about soul winning.
Amen.
I thank God for how you folks have dived in there, some of you. And boy, you're getting rid of them tracks. We're down to the last half box.
Yeah. Amen.
Praise the Lord.
Except for the half box I got in the back of my truck.
Yeah.
Amen, brother.
I'll get rid of you. We need to be serious about this stuff,
yes,
folks.
Right.
Yeah.
Serious man. All right, let me say one other thing here and I'll be done. Look here at verse 13. Looking for that blessed old voice appeared of our great God and our Savior, the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ.
Amen.
We should live straight lives.
Right.
Amen. We should live sober lives, serious lives, serious about the things of God.
Amen.
We should live second coming lives. Mm-hmm.
Yes, amen.
You say, what do you mean? We should live with the expectancy of the second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ.
Right.
Amen.
Amen.
I promise you now, most of the world has not thought this week of the coming of the Lord not one time.
You're right.
You say, wow, they ain't supposed to.
Yeah. Right.
Some of them probably don't even know about it. But us that know about the coming of the Lord, the Bible says we're to watch for His coming. We're to watch for the coming of the Lord.
Amen.
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 Yeah.
Amen. The Lord will come.
Amen. We're to look out and sometime during the days.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe the Lord will come today.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. Amen.
The Bible strongly urges us as New Testament Christians to watch for the Lord's coming.
Right.
Amen.
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 Because He is coming.
Amen.
Amen. Why does the Bible do that? Well, it says if we'll do that, it will purify our lives.
That's right.
1 John chapter 3, verse 1. Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us that we might be called the sons of God. It doeth not yet appear what we shall be, but when He appears, we shall be like Him, for we shall see Him as He is. And every one that has this hope purifies himself even as he is pure. Yeah. In other words, everyone that believes that Jesus is going to come, they purify their life. Yeah. They try to live like He might come today. Yeah. He might come this evening. Yeah. He might come in the morning. Yeah. They try to live their lives that way.
Yeah.
The Bible uses that word purify.
Yeah.
It's interesting. I know what we do when we purify things. You say, well, what do you do when you purify things? Well, some things to purify them, you put them in the fire.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Right.
How many of you have ever, you got a splinter in your finger? It went real deep, you couldn't get it out. So you get your wife or somebody come in there, you know, they come in there and they'll get a thread or needle, and they'll put it under a match.
Yep, right. Yep.
You know, heat the end of that needle because they want to purify it. They want to kill everything that's in it. Amen?
Amen.
And I tell you, the things that are going on in this world, the things that are going on in our lives as children of God, they purify us. The Bible says, don't think it strange concerning the fiery trials.
Amen.
He says in another place, the trials of your life are more precious than gold. Though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory in His appearing. I'm telling you that when we purify ourselves, we go through some fires.
Yeah. Amen.
Yeah.
The Bible said God's words are fire.
That's right.
Amen. I have in my refrigerators, I'm sure many of you do, I have a thing there in the door that has filtered water. Purifies that water. Why does it do that? It runs it through some filters.
Yeah,
right.
It purifies that water. You see, your Bible is the filter of God.
Right.
You run your thoughts through the Bible. You run your affections through the Bible. You run your feelings through the Bible. And you let it run through the pages of God's Word. And it'll purify your thoughts. It'll purify your thinking.
Right.
It'll purify your motives. It'll purify your actions. Amen.
Amen.
We need to purify ourselves.
Amen, Brother Rick.
And then he says, what does he say? He says, who gave Himself for us, He might redeem us from all iniquity, purifying Himself a peculiar people.
Amen.
That word peculiar.
Yeah.
That didn't mean just strange and odd. There's a lot of people like that in the world that's hell bound.
Right.
Right. Amen. That word peculiar, what it means there is it means special, belonging to an exclusive group, an exclusive class. The Bible says as children of God, you and I are to be a peculiar people, the Bible says. We're to belong to something. We're to be different than what the world is.
Right.
Then he says this. Oh, Andrew Tifford, he made this note on that passage. He says salvation has a past. It's at the cross. That's where salvation was provided. He says salvation has a present. That's at the throne. That's where it's protected. He says salvation has a prospect, and that's the rapture. That's where he'll perfect us.
Amen.
He says he set us free, means he redeemed us.
Yeah.
He set us apart, that means he purifies or sanctifies us.
Yeah.
He sets us on fire, that means he makes us zealous for God.
Yeah. Amen.
Zealous for the Lord.
Yeah. Amen.
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 That's what God does for us.
Amen.
A friend of mine told me last night, he said, the worst thing you can do with a young Christian is put him with somebody that's been saved about 3 years. I said, why do you say that? He said, because after 3 years, they've lost the fire. They've started to lose some of the zeal. They've started to lose some of the glow and the go about it. And I said, well, if that's the truth, you sure don't want to put them around nobody's been saved 30 years.
Yeah.
Amen.
Amen.
The peculiar people. We are to purify our lives. We are to be a peculiar people. We should live in light of the second coming. We should have a specific hope.
Yeah.
Amen.
A specific hope.
Amen.
Amen. Our hope cannot be in the Republicans.
Yes, right.
Or the Democrats.
Yep. Amen.
Amen.
Yeah.
Our hope cannot be in any one person that may or may not get elected to the office of presidency in the next election.
Amen.
Right.
You say, why? Because we've had several like that, haven't we?
Yes.
Yeah.
We've had some that were better than others. We've had some that were worse than others.
Yeah.
But what I'm saying is this. Listen, I'm saying, by the way, if you come back tonight, I'm going to preach out of Titus chapter 3.
Amen.
And I tell you, the Bible says some hard things. I was reading through this in preparation. I read what verse 2 said. It said to speak evil of no man. That's hard to do if you've got a president like we got here.
Yes,
amen,
yes.
Brother.
That's very true.
That's right.
Yeah. Must be a bunch of Democrats in
here. Yeah.
I'm not saying there's good Democrats and there's good Republicans.
Yes,
and there's bad ones.
Yeah.
And there's good ones.
Yeah.
But what I'm saying is this, folks. The Democrats or the Republicans or the independent or the socialist, none of them are our hope.
Right. Amen. Amen. Right.
Now the world hopes in them because that's all they got.
Right.
Yep.
But we put our hope in the Lord Jesus Christ and His coming. Titus 2:13 said, looking for that blessed hope and that glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior Jesus Christ. Who is the great God, our Savior Jesus Christ? I'll tell you, the only hope we have is for Jesus to come and to get us out of here. That's all we got, folks.
Amen.
That's right.
Brother. I mean, I urge you to vote. I think every Christian ought to vote. I think it's the right thing to do.
Yeah. Right.
Amen.
Yeah.
And I don't ever tell folks who to vote for and say why. Well, one, I don't be looking at you through this.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But two, that's not my job.
Right.
Amen. My job is to preach the Bible.
Yeah,
my
right.
job is to tell you what's right in the Bible. And when you know what's right in the Bible, and you know what's right, you look at them candidates, you look at what they're for, and you look who's more for what God's for and who's not, and you vote for the lesser of two antichrists.
Amen.
Yeah.
Amen,
yeah.
Brother Rick. Yeah.
So much
life.
That's
Amen. Well, might as well quit because y'all quit about 10 minutes ago.
You're here, bud.
What I'm saying is, the Bible tells us how we ought to live.
That's right.
Amen. Amen. Amen.
By the grace of God and the help of God,
right.
I want to live the way God wants me to live.
Bless you, brother.
Amen.
Amen.
Yes,
amen.
Amen. Amen.
I don't want to just straggle in. I want to just barely get thrown in.
Yes, you're right.
Brother Eddie, I want to live so that I can have an abundant entrance into the kingdom of God. Amen.
Right.
Amen. I want to live right so that others might see me living right and they might want to do right.
Amen.
I want to live like I've got something so others might see me and they might want to have something.
Right. Amen.
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 God loves you.
Yeah.
Christ died for you on the cross.
Amen. Amen.
He's done everything in His power to see that you can get saved.
Yeah. Amen. Thank you, Lord.
He's done all He's going to do.
Yeah.
And when He finished what He was going to do on the cross and rose from the grave on the third day, He bounced that ball over into your court and the next move's up to you.
Right.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.
You want to get saved, he'll save you.
Amen. Yes, he will.
If you failed him, he'll forgive you.
Right.
Amen.
Amen.
If you're not satisfied with where you are with the Lord, you can get closer to the Lord.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
Amen. Amen.
Yeah.
I mean, he has something for everybody here today.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Lord, I thank you this morning. Give me liberty to preach.
Thank you, Lord.
Lord, I pray today that the Word of God is put out. And I hope, Lord, when we leave, we at least know how the Bible says we ought to live. We ought to live straight lives. We ought to live sober lives. And as Christians, we ought to live with the second coming in view, the Lord coming. The Lord, I pray for those of us that are Christians that right now that we might examine ourselves. I pray that right now, Lord, that we would examine our lives in the light of the Word of God.
Yes, Lord.
Lord, I pray that we might examine just how serious we are about the things of the Lord. It used to be serious, maybe some way or another the devil's got us thinking it ain't that much of a serious matter. It is. Lord, I pray today about the second coming of the Lord. I mean this with all my heart, with every fiber in my body. I wish, Lord, you'd come today. Lord, that is our blessed hope and glorious appearing of our great God and our Savior, Lord Jesus Christ. Father, I pray today that if there's some here today that's not ready for your coming, or the end of hour, or Lord, you send the death angel of our house today. I pray they'd come and get ready before it's everlasting too late.
Yes.
Lord, we'll ask it all today in the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen and amen. Let's stand if you would, please. Let's stand if you would, please. If you didn't come pray, we'll do that. Come pray this morning. We have that privilege right now.
123.
If you're lost, please come today. Thank you, God. Folks, I want to tell you, I know I can't stress this, but I want you to understand You don't have to have a heart attack. You don't
That's
have to
right.
car wreck. You don't have to get a phone call.
That's right.
For it to be serious.
That's right.
If you're lost today, it is serious. And I want to urge you to think about the seriousness of it.
Listen,
the moment right now. The moment right now. If you're a Christian right now, this is serious.
Yes.
I pray for God to put on my heart what needs to be preached. I don't just sit around and think what I'd like to say to you.
Bless you, brother.
I pray for God to put it on my heart, and the Lord puts a message on my heart to you, the church.
Yeah.
It's serious. God's speaking you some point in the message. You may not need it all, but there's something there to hear.
Yes.
Are you responding in a serious way? We're going to sing one more verse. Appreciate you for coming. If you're lost, please come.
Yeah,
please come.
Something that we should be serious about, that we should meditate upon those things, Lord, that have been brought to our attention today, Lord. And Lord, we do need your help to live soberly in this world, Lord. We do need your help each and every day, Father. And help us, Lord, to strive to live for you, Lord. And pray that you would help us to be able to do that. We do pray for those that came to the altar today, Lord. I know that, Lord, if they came humbly, Lord, that they found help. And I just pray for us, Lord, again. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
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 Amen. Thank you, Brother Nathan. Amen. All right. While we're waiting here a minute, y'all take all the time you need there on the altar.
Bless him, Lord. Bless him.
Bless him. All right, anybody have a word for the Lord today, Brother Williams?
Well, Rick, I appreciate the preaching today.
Yep.
And, of course, I'm not trying to be a prophet of doom, but I believe the potential for mass destruction is not only real, but I believe, I guess, from my perspective, that people are playing church instead of actually being serious like you preached today about the hour we're living in. I'm glad it's well, my soul.
Yes.
I'm glad I know my sins on the blood.
Yep.
Glad I know my name's a book on things someone can threaten me with heaven.
Yep.
I don't worry about it, but I tell you what, buddy, good time to get serious. Appreciate the preaching.
Yes.
All right, somebody else. Okay. Anybody else?
Brother Rick, I'd like to thank the Lord for saving me. I'd like to thank the Lord for giving me the wife he gave me.
Amen, Brother Doug. God bless
for
you.
They don't tell me what kind of hole I'd be in right now.
That's right.
I'd like to thank him for my in-laws.
They've
been real, I mean, just as good as parents to me.
Amen, Brother Doug.
And I'd like to thank him for helping me through my pill addiction. I was in a bad place.
Bless him, Lord.
I mean, just super low. Couldn't get any lower.
Yeah.
But because of Jesus, it's been about 10 weeks.
Thank you, Lord.
And I'm sober, you know.
Good, brother.
Don't even think about it no more.
Good. Thank you, Lord.
Bless you, brother.
You praying for him. It's good, ain't it?
Praise
the
Lord.
Okay, anybody else?
All right, then. All hearts are clear. We do appreciate you being here today. We hope you'll go with praying, come back to praying, and we love you this morning. All hearts are clear. We're going to bow our heads again for dismissal prayer. We're going to ask Brother Marty Huffman if he would dismiss us for prayer.
Dear gracious Heavenly Father, Lord, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus, for this opportunity, Lord, being in your house today, Lord. Thank you, dear God, for hearing an answer prayer. Dear God, mm-hmm. Thank you for being so good to us, Lord, and thank you, yes. Lord, for blessing us. Please, Lord, we never imagine. We just thank you, Lord, praise you. Lord, we pray, Father, that anything and everything we do, Lord, be for your glory and your praise. Watch over us now, Lord, lead us, God, and make a point of time, Lord, to come back in your house. Thank you once again, Lord, for loving us, Lord, for caring for us.
Bless
you. Most of all, Lord, for being so good to us.
Yes.
Saving our souls.
Yes.
Amen. Amen. Once again, dear God, in Jesus' name we pray.
Amen.
This young lady got saved at her house yesterday.
Praise the Lord. Hallelujah.